You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
We're getting to that time of the year again, or we're right in the middle of that time of the year. And it's the Christmas time of the year, and over the last couple of, last couple of months, there's been some things that have transpired and things that have happened with me that have been interesting. And my wife's had a lovely story to tell as many people as she possibly can. We're getting to the time where Father Christmas is around, and I remember Alan Meyer telling a story about the four phases of life and about how in the last phase that you start to look like Father Christmas. Well, Claudia, a couple of weeks ago, I think we were around at someone's place swimming, and we were just heading home, and one of the little girls there said to her, "Is your dad taking you home tonight?" And Claudia said nicely to her, "Look, it's not my dad, that's my husband." And then a week ago we went to our family Christmas party, and I hadn't shaved trimmed the beard off for long, and a few of my funny family members were calling me Santa Claus, so that was all very interesting. But it all started a couple of months ago, and things have been going downhill fast, where I had I was taking my son and one of his little mates to a sporting thing, and we were walking out, and he looked up at me and he said, "How old are you?" And I thought, in my day, I'd never ask that sort of question. And I said, "Well, I'm about a year older than your dad." And he said, "Oh, okay, no worries." And I said, "How old's your dad?" And he said, "Oh, he's 42. I said, "Well, that means I'm 43. And he went, "Oh, okay." And he had this really disappointed look on his face, really sad, disappointed look on his face. And so I kept walking. And you know when you ask a question, and after you've asked the question and got the answer, you never wish you'd asked the question in the first place? Well, I said to him, "Why do you ask how old I am?" And he's still in this disappointed thing. And he said, "Well, I've got to interview someone over 80 in my class at school." So I was extremely disappointed in that, and so ever since that moment, it's gone downhill. So he's still waiting there. I left him there, and I think his dad's going to pick him up in a couple of weeks. But we sometimes the questions we ask ourselves in life, we often don't like the answer to. And this morning, I was reading a scripture a few weeks ago, and it goes like this. It's Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, if you've got your Bibles. And it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And I read that, and I asked myself a question. And I don't know whether I like the answer to it, but do I conform to the pattern of this world? Am I conforming in my life to the pattern of this world? And so I had a look at that scripture, and I did a little bit of research into it. And when we look at the scripture and we read about where it says do not conform to the pattern, it comes from the Greek word, and I'm not into the Greek, so excuse me if I get it incorrect. It's called sugamatazio, which means to form according to a pattern or mold. Furthermore, the word world, which is so do not conform to the pattern of this world, the word world is not cosmos, as in the world, the created world, but rather aeon, which is spelled A-I-O-N, or age. Why is this important for us to know? The word aeon does not just mean age in the sense that it is a finite period of time. Aeon came to mean all that exists in the world under the conditions of the time. Aeon includes all the thoughts, opinions, maxims, speculations, impulses, and aspirations present in the world at any given time, which may be impossible to accurately define, but which still constitute a real and effective power, the moral or immoral atmosphere we breathe. So ask yourself a question this morning. Are you conforming to the pattern of the world? Well, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Now, when we think of the pattern and the pattern of this world, if there's a pattern, then there's got to be a pattern maker. Now, we see the scripture about the God of this age. Well, my brother just happens to be a pattern maker, and it's an art which isn't used very much these days, but he's stuck with it. He's now about 60, and I love to tell him that, even though I look over 80, but I love to tell him that. Now, he is a pattern maker, and he has a shed full of awesome tools. I just love the shed full of tools. I know Graham would love his shed full of tools. Graham loves all sorts of different tools, but he's got a shed full of tools. I was there, like I said, a couple of weeks ago. And when it comes to making a pattern, there's all sorts of different things you can use. Like sometimes he can use timber, sometimes he can use steel. There's lots of different things he uses. But here I have with me today, I asked him if I could borrow one of his patterns. Now this here is a pattern, okay? Now, you probably think, well, what the heck is that? Well, he does lots of different things. He's done patterns for Coke signs and all sorts of things. Now, there is the mould for the pattern. So he has put it together with a few different things and a few different tools. He's given a design, and then this pattern he gives to the company, and they press out the final product, which is this. Now, I know it doesn't look quite finished. This is off a Kenworth truck, okay? This is the cover for a motor for windscreen wiper blades. And that's all it is. It's a cover for wind. And so he's asked to do different things, and he gets calls from all over Victoria and all over Australia to put together these patterns. And it's a bit of a dying art because things have changed so much in the last 20 years. But my brother's quite clever. So he doesn't think he's got the brains in the family, but he's certainly a very clever man the way he puts things together. So there you go. That is a pattern. So he is a pattern maker. He has put together a mould and a pattern, and then that is the finished product. Well, guess what? There is a pattern maker we have, as we see in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, the God of this age, and we know who that is. And so this morning I just want to give you a picture and an understanding of the dangers of getting caught in the pattern of this world, because there is a pattern maker. Okay, now I just want to explain a couple of things to you. So there's a pattern maker, there is a pattern, and there is a product which comes out. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the pattern maker that we're talking about. And we're talking about Satan at the moment. He is when we're talking about the pattern of this world, he's certainly got his dirty paws all over the pattern of this world. So firstly, when we see Satan. I've picked three things. Now, there's a few things we can talk about, but I picked three things. He is first and foremost a deceiver. Satan is a deceiver. And in Genesis 3:1, it started very early. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals and the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" So he works in deception and questioning, and he will always maybe make things look like they're okay, but they're not actually okay. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Now, when I was a kid, I always saw this scripture and I thought, ooh, a lion, you know, I was scared of a lion. But, you know, this, you got to read this properly. It doesn't say he prowls around and is a lion. It says he prowls around and he is like a roaring lion. There is only one roaring lion. There is only one roaring lion, and that is God. That is Jesus Christ, okay? But he deceives and make himself look like a roaring lion, and so people get a bit scared because his growl is not anything that we should be worried about, and his bite isn't much if we know how to deal with him. So he's a deceiver. Secondly, he's a divider. He will divide wherever he can. In church, out of church, in family, wherever it is, he will divide. He will bring disunity wherever he can. So he's a deceiver, he's a divider, and he is a thief. Okay? In John 10:10, you've heard this scripture many times. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, not only is a thief, not only is a deceiver, not only is a divider, but he's not silly, okay? And so if you think Satan's some dumbo, he's not. He's not silly. Okay, so when we see this, this is the pattern maker. Now, in the pattern, this is how he wants you to be. This is how he puts it all together, okay? So he wants you to be insecure. He wants you to be proud. He wants you to be confused because he is the author of confusion. He wrote the book on confusion. He wants you to be dissatisfied, wanting more than what God has given you. He wants you to be condemned. He wants you to be selfish, and he wants you to be unbelieving. There's a few things that we can kind of put together about who Satan is and the tools that he uses. Okay, he uses deceit because he is the deceiver. He uses doubt. He will always use questioning, and he uses division. Okay, there are the tools that he will use, and whenever you can see anything like that, whether it be in home, work, church, family, he is well underlined, involved in that sort of stuff. Deceit, doubt and division, and a lot of questioning goes on. And this is one of the tools that he uses today. One of the tools he uses today is television, okay? And here is a statistic from 2005, okay? This is 7 years ago and this is in the UK. TV sets in most UK homes are on for approximately 6.5 hours a day. And the average viewer watches just over 3 hours a day. Interestingly, in US figures, Christian homes average only 15 minutes less a day than the rest. So we kind of be relatively similar to what US society is. Neil Postman, an American media expert, wrote a fascinating book called Amusing Ourselves to Death. In it, he says that between the ages of 6 and 18, this is only between the ages of 6 and 18, so 12 years, and the average child spends 15 to 16,000 hours in front of the television. It's a shocking figure on its own, but when it is compared to the number of hours they spend in school, 13,000, it's even more worrying. More time in front of the TV than in school. Postman says that in the US, during the first 20 years of someone's life, he or she will have seen 1 million adverts at the rate of about 1,000 a week. Here's the killer. As to TV effects, the results are infamous. Shortened attention spans, reduced capacity to think abstractly, and the blending of childhood into adulthood. God wants us to be like a child. But That's interesting, the effect that it has. To attract and hold its audience, the TV industry feels it has to promote lying, adultery, promiscuity, incest, violence, cheating, being a workaholic, gambling, drinking to excess, and many more. As a result, these lowest of activities often become more commonplace and even more morally acceptable. So that's one of the tools, that's one of the physical tools that Satan actually uses. It's interesting that in the 1940s, the church was offered the license for television in America and it rejected it. And now look what's happened. Now this is the product. So we've got the pattern maker, we've got the pattern, we've got the product. This is what he wants you to do. He wants you to compare. Compare yourselves one to another. The Bible talks about that. He wants you to walk by sight. Okay? Now, it's interesting in Genesis 3, 6 to 8, we see just after Satan had asked that question, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. Then the eyes, and this is what happened, this is the first thing that happened, then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realised they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. It's interesting this year in some of the notes that we've studied at in our life groups, we've studied about what's above the line and what's below the line. Let me tell you that Satan wants you to be looking at all your circumstances around you and be impacted by them in a negative sense, and to live your life according to the circumstances, not according to what God's word says. So he wants you to walk by sight. He wants you to fear. He wants you to worry. And he definitely wants you to judge other people. And so when we look at the pattern, and we can see that the pattern maker in Satan, the god of this world, has asked that we do these things, and so he produces a pattern, and then he wants a product. So this is what he wants us to look like. And I've just done three quick things on three ways that we in ourselves. Now there's many more things. So it's just I've just done three things where we conform to the pattern of this world according to what is going on around us. We conform to the pattern of this world in our rest. Okay, Genesis 2:2-3 says, and on the seventh day God finished his work and that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work and that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. It was good enough for God. He's probably got a bit on his plate, but it was good enough for God to rest. I think sometimes it's good enough for us. Exodus 20 verse 8 to 11, this is where he talks about it in the commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This commandment was given more explanation in Exodus than any other commandment was about rest. Hebrews 4:9-10 says this, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. This rest is in Hebrews. This rest in Hebrews speaks of us not having to work or earn our salvation, because we believe that through and because of Christ we have salvation by nothing we can do. Now this is talking about a rest in salvation, okay? But the principle of rest does not change. If we work ourselves to the bone and do not rest, because God's asked us to rest, and he writes stuff in here to help us, not to make it hard for us, but he says, if you rest, and he talks about blessed. Now, blessed means empowered to succeed. So when we talk about being blessed, God is empowering us to succeed. And when he puts stuff in the Bible, and some of you might sit there and say, well, you know, the stuff about the Sabbath is Old Testament. Well, it may be Old Testament, but there is a principle involved of us resting from our work and taking time out. You know, when I started to put this together a few weeks ago, God challenged me on resting on a Sunday because I love doing stuff around the home and all that sort of thing. And please don't think this is not me judging anyone or anything. This is about what God has talked to me about. And he has challenged me to rest, to actually take the time and to do things that I, you know, really enjoy, spend time with the family and to rest. And it's been hard. It's been hard to stop, to actually stop and do something. But there is a principle involved in which we have conformed to the pattern of the world. And I remember even as a kid when I was, you know, it was probably the mid-80s, they started to bring in not just Saturday morning trading, but Saturday afternoon trading and Sunday trading. And now many people have to work on Sundays. It's part of what they have to do. Now, I'm not suggesting that Sunday has to be the day of rest, okay? But there is a principle where people are working more and more and more hours these days, and they're not taking the rest that God has desired for them in their best interests, not because he was trying to kill your joy, but it's in your best interests. And so we have conformed to the pattern in our rest. Secondly, we've conformed to the pattern in our conflict resolution, dealing with it. James 4, 1-3 says this, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure." Often our conflict is there because of self, because of attitudes and unforgiveness. And it involves harsh words, manipulation, silent treatment, and in conflict, we just want to cut and run. Well, there is another way. And if you've ever been on the end of conflict, or you might be in the midst of it right now, and you're feeling hard to deal with it, well, God gives us a way to deal with it. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Philippians 2:3-4 says, "Do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." Put others first. Not looking at your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Colossians 3:13, there's plenty of stuff in the Bible about it. "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive them as the Lord forgave you." So in conflict, in rest, and I did have a couple of others, but because of time, I just want to keep moving. There are many others, but in our friendships or relationships that we keep is another way that we conform to the pattern. And I battled with this one about bringing it because I thought it came across as a heavy thing. 2 Peter 2:3-17 says this, "Let me warn you, therefore, beloved, that knowing these things beforehand, you should be on your guard lest you be carried away by the error of lawless and wicked persons and fall from your own present firm condition, your own steadfast of mind." 1 Corinthians 15:33 to 34 says this: "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame." Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Our friendships that we keep are important in what feeds into our lives. And I'm not just talking about people who aren't Christians, I'm talking about people who are Christians as well, because there are some people that can give you a real sense of negativity in your life. Let me just ask you these questions. Does your friend gossip, backbite, or speak evil of others? Do they argue about Scripture or continually debate it, never coming to the truth? Do they call godly people Pharisees? Do you detect in their words a spirit of disobedience, envy, or suspicion? Have they succeeded in planting unkind thoughts in your mind about others? Conforming to the pattern, we saw there what God wrote about friendships and the people that we keep close to us. It doesn't mean that there aren't people you reach out to. We're talking about those who you allow to dictate into your life and to take their ways on. So there's three things that I had about how we conform to the pattern. There are many others. There are words that we use, our language we use. We conform to the pattern in the idols that we keep in our minds and in our houses. We conform to the pattern in the way we use our money. We conform to the pattern in the way we use our work time and our time. We conform to the pattern in the way we raise our children. Now, the pattern maker I was talking about is the God of this world, who is defeated. And he is a deceiver, and he is a liar, and he's a thief. But you know, there is the true pattern maker who created each one of us. And that is God. God is the true pattern maker. The God of this world that I talked about before is only temporarily in charge. But we know that God is sovereign. The true God is sovereign. And he is over all. Now, when we think about the pattern and we think about conforming to the pattern of this world, you know, we can look at our own situations. I look at mine and we go, okay, there's an area which I conform to the pattern. But if you sit here today and you go, I've got to change everything like that, you might find it a difficult thing to do. And in the end, you'll just throw your hands up in the air and you'll say, I'm just going to keep doing it anyway. But God works in incredible ways. The true pattern maker, God, This is the way he is. He is, God is love. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. He is eternal. He is not about the time that we see before us. He is not about start at age zero and die at 80, or that's your time. He is eternal. He is infinite. Sometimes we can't get around that. He is an eternal God who has an eternal mindset and wants us to have an eternal mindset. And he is a God of truth. John 1:1 says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh." This is John 1:14. "The Word became flesh and his dwelling and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John 14:6 says, "Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And John 14:9 says, "Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." So he's truth. And this is the pattern that God wants you to be. Very different from the things that I described before. Whereas Satan wants you to be insecure, God wants you to be secure. He wants you to be loved, and he wants you to be content. Philippians 4, 11 to 12 says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So he wants us to be content. He wants us to be humble. The Bible says that he gives grace to the humble. He wants us to be unique. Now, I was reading back through my notes last night, and God really spoke to me powerfully on this word unique. Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. There is someone here today who was considering not even coming to church this morning. Now, I don't know who it is, but this is what I sense God was saying to me last night. And you don't think you're unique. You think your life is a wreck, and you think that you aren't worth anything. Well, if that's you and you know that I'm speaking to you now, God says that you are unique, and he's giving you a message today from him to you to say that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you will be incredible. Just hang on to what God says about you, not what others may have said in the past. So I just needed to sit on that one because God really spoke to me about that. And if you want to talk to me about that afterwards, that's fine, or pray with me about it. I'd love to pray with you. But that was a real strong sense I had on the God and the pattern that God wants you to be. He wants you to be unique. He wants you to be at peace. I was talking to Chris downstairs during the week, and she gave me a thing that they handed out. I think it was for chicks, was it? He wants you to be at peace. And peace is this. It's not the absence of conflict, but the presence of God no matter what the conflict. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He wants you to be at peace. He wants you to be Christ-like. And it's interesting that in the Amplified Version, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, it says this. Pattern yourselves after me. Follow my example. This is Paul talking. As I imitate and I follow Christ. He says, pattern yourselves as you follow Christ. And these are the tools that God uses. He uses grace. He uses kindness. He says that kindness, that it's his kindness that leads to repentance. It's his kindness that leads us to turn from our ways. He uses truth. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, with a still small voice, he uses the Word of God as it is right there in front of us, and he sometimes uses others. And this is what God wants you to. He wants you to believe that what Christ has done is enough. He wants you to receive what God has given you, which is every spiritual blessing. He wants you to rest in him. He wants you to obey, and he wants you to trust. Proverbs 3:1-6 says this. So I'm going to read this whole scripture because I think this is incredible. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Matt, can we have the worship team up? Is that all right? For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding or the pattern's understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And I just put in brackets there one of the descriptions that had in the Bible that I had underneath that talked about it will remove the stumbling blocks from your life. But we've got to trust that God's way is the best way. You know, Graham talked to, I think it was last week or the week before, and one of the things he said, one of the scriptures used, that God's ways are higher than our ways. And he wants us to look above the line, not at the circumstances around us, because if we allow that to dictate to our life, that's when we will conform to the pattern of this world, but conform to God's ways. His ways are higher than our ways. Believe it or not, and I've talked about this year, one of the things that I talked about was how that we are to be there as a light to shine for those around us. Believe it or not, people who don't know Christ are looking for something different. They're not looking for a people who are conformed to the pattern of what they can already see. They're not looking for the same way that they're already in. They're looking for a people who are set apart and set apart from the things of this world. That's what people are looking for. And if that's what we're giving them, they'll begin to ask us lots of questions about what it is that's making a difference in our life. So today, offer your life today. Offer your life today. And I'm not saying, you know, become a Christian. If you're not a Christian today and you want to become a Christian, I encourage you to do that. But that scripture talks about offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. So offer your life today. Offer everything about your life today. God is a God of grace. God is a God of truth. He's a God of love, who puts everything in his word about trusting him and conforming to his pattern, because he cares about us and he wants us to have an awesome life. So today I encourage you, go to the true pattern maker. Be aware of Satan's schemes. Be aware of his deception and the way he creeps in and he lets you think that what you're doing is okay, but it's not. It's hurting you and it's hurting those around you. So don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your mind. That's called repentance, changing your mind. God will do it for you. It can happen like that. And so today, I want us all to stand, and I'd like us to sing I Exalt Thee, Matt, if we can. If we can sing that from the top. God is an awesome God who wants the best for us. And so as we sing today, I don't think we need a response to come down this morning, but we need a response in our heart. And as we sing I Exalt Thee, let's not just sing it in here, let's take it out and let's sing I Exalt Thee in everything we do in life. And if God has challenged you today, where you may have conformed to the pattern of this world in some way, I just want to encourage you, he is there to help you. And where you think, I can't change, well, God can change you. You just got to put your hand in his, because he wants to walk it with you. So I'll just finish by reading that scripture once more. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and his perfect will. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you that it is life-giving and life-bringing. And I pray for each and every person here today, for those who might be struggling or sense that they're in the pattern that they can't break. Father, I know that your power and your blood breaks that pattern like that. And we just thank you for your power. We just thank you that you are the true pattern maker. And Lord, that you're not a rude God, but you're a gentleman who wants us to come to you and to put our lives before you. And so, Lord, I pray that today that you would help each one of us to conform to your pattern, and that we would know how to test and improve what your perfect will is in our lives. And we just give you thanks. And everyone said, amen. Let's sing and let's worship.